When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Thanks for listening to the Von Hessler Doctrine Podcast. Remember, you can hear the show every weekday from 9 to noon right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. I guess it's the very end of hour two of the Von Hessler Doctrine, but here we are. I hope everybody's enjoying the latest dog and pony show out of Washington, D.C. Hey, let's just keep on. Let's do this for 8 hours or 10 hours or 15 hours when we know for a fact everyone who thought he should be impeached before it started is still going to think he should be impeached, and everyone who didn't think he should be impeached is still going to think that he shouldn't be impeached.
Eric, that's an argument of executive privilege, sir.
Yes. And then, you had that little bit. I want to very quickly back. This is a very early on, and I knew exactly how this one was going to go, because you got like basically a, you know, military guy, he's a by the books kind of guy, and he's just going to stay with what he knows, and then you've got Democrats trying to get him to say what they want him to say, and it ends up in this weird little thing here.
Can we agree that it was urgent while that aid was being withheld?
There are two things.
I'm talking about the common understanding of what urgent means, because Inspector General said this was urgent, not only in the statutory meaning, this was urgent as everyone understands that term. Can we agree that it was urgent?
It was urgent and important, but my job as the Director of National Intelligence was to comply with the Whistleblower Protection Act and adhere to the definition of urgent concern, which is a legal term.
Yes, of course, it's illegal to. You don't have the one where he was asking if he went to the White House first?
Or, I do have that cut.
You'll have to get to it. By the way, I've noticed that around here, I think there's somebody watching us. Hey, who is that? Hey, is that you, Tim Andrews?
I'm not the whistleblower.
Jared, is that you?
Sir, I have 2 points that I need to make.
Oh, hey, who is that? Autumn, is that you?
Me? No, I don't own a whistle.
I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. Well, the first full hour of this special edition of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. You know me. You know them. Look, just because every day the first full hour starts off with me introducing everybody who's here on the cast, it doesn't mean I have to do it on days like this. And quite frankly, I don't give a damn what you think about it. Hey, whoa, who's that? Who's that? Hey, Tim Andrews, is that you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Autumn Fisher, is that you?
No, what?
But it's still going.
What?
Look, I'll find out who it is. I will find out who it is. Let's do this.
Headlines for Thursday, September 26th.
It's a plague, I tell you. These whistleblowers. I got a couple of, for people who haven't been watching this, I guess they won't be able to follow me, but I'm fascinated with the dude who's right over the right shoulder of the director of
Sam the Eagle from the Muppet Show.
This guy, he looks like the president of the National Hall Monitor Society. I imagine he has some kind of big role.
Can I see your pass?
Head librarian of America. This guy has had an intense face for over 2 hours. It just doesn't. Right over the right shoulder of the acting director of National Intelligence,
Joseph McGuire,
is this dude, and he's had this who farted look on his face for over 2 hours. he's very intense, and
yeah, he has resting stern face.
Yeah, he's just maybe
Director McGuire's been crop dusting him back there.
That's a possibility. Give him where he is. Some crop dusting maybe going on. I just said it before we went to the break. My belief here is that if you woke up this morning believing that the President of the United States should be impeached. Everything that you've watched so far leads you to believe that you were right when you woke up this morning. And if you woke up this morning believing that this is ridiculous and there's no way the President should be impeached, after watching what's happened so far, I think you feel pretty confident that you woke up with the right idea this morning. These dog and pony shows are just that, trying to get this guy to say something that will make it appear he's trying to be as neutral as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get, no, we have commercials to make, or we have, look, we got our friends out here, and then they got a lot of news, 24-hour news. If you could just provide us with one, two, at most three clips that condemn the president, then this 8 hours wouldn't have been completely in vain. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't try that. I'm not saying they're not sincere. I'm saying that's what's going on. You know what's not going on? A search for the truth. I myself, Eric Von Hessler, do not corner the market on the truth on this. But I can see that what's not going on there is a search for the truth. And hopefully that's so obvious that you're shaking your fist at the radio and going, well, you think I'm an idiot, Eric? Of course I know it's not a search for the truth. I just want to make sure that everyone understands that. There's nobody asking questions that is just thinking, man, I want to hear something I don't know. Everyone asking questions from either side knows what they want to hear, and they try to get the person to say something very close to that so that they can then use that. Because we talked about this yesterday. Get this idea of impeachment being a legal proceeding completely out of your mind. Why, Eric? Because it's not. It's a political thing. And people don't seem to realize, well, the Constitution says high crimes and misdemeanors. What does that mean? Go look in your dictionary. There is no definition, really. It means any time a majority of members in the House of Representatives agree that the president should be impeached for X reason, then that's it. That's it. Now, this is America. Everybody who votes for that then has to face the voters, and they have to defend themselves and defend their vote, and that's the check and balance on the whole thing. But I guess the most important thing for this show to get across is you need to understand that you're watching a dog and pony show. That's all. Once you do that, you can either enjoy it or be annoyed by it or whatever. But if you're jumping in on one side or the other going, yeah, we're doing good, I'm on the left and I want to know, oh, that was a good one. My goodness, that was a zinger. And if you're on the right and you love the president, it's like, that's way to stand up there and go. You're both sides, all of you. Puppets on a string on the TV there, you're marionettes. Step back for a moment.
You didn't think that...
This is a show that's being put on for you. That's what it is. It's being put on for you, and it's like any good show, it's meant to tug at your emotions. And so the best thing you can do is just sort of sift through it like it's flour and just come up with what you come up with and see what you see. And to quote Ronald Reagan, he was talking about the Soviet Union at the time, but whether you're on the left or on the right, don't be afraid to see what you see. If you see something and you know you see something, that's it. That's what it is. Now go with it. If you see something that didn't follow the narrative that you thought, whether you're on the left or the right, be intellectually honest. Just go, oh, didn't know that. But you're not going to find out much new in stuff like this. It's just it's a show that's put on mostly for them so that they can figure out the next move and use clips. This is to provide clips to news media. That's what this is about.
So you don't think that House Committee Chair Schiff had any zingers in there at all where he got him?
No, he thought he started off being like a founding father, you know, like, oh, the Constitution of the United. So what I'm saying is, when it comes to this, I don't really care. Hey, whoa, hey.
So anyway, what Eric was doing.
Is that you, Tim Anderson?
No. I was just talking to Jared about something.
I'm not paranoid here. Yeah. Somebody.
You know, I think one time he
you guys. Is that you?
No, I don't. What that bird? Sure
as I'm watching this.
I'm the acting director. I have nothing to do with this.
As I'm watching this, it reminds me of the other impeachment, you know, from the 90s. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about whistleblowing and stuff. And I'm trying to figure out, because it's the whistleblower and what's his complaint. And going back to the 90s, it makes me wonder, is Monica Lewinsky considered a whistleblower?
Hey, come on, man. Hey, look, you don't got to be shit. Come on, that was a long time ago.
Who's that? Who is that?
Hillary. Hillary had the whistle. She...
I told them that I was going to get him.
All right. Do you have the next piece that we were going to go for? This is, if you just tuning in and you're wondering, well, how's that hearing going up on the Hill with the acting director of National Intelligence? That's different from the National Security Agency, which is different from the CIA. Keep them all separate in your minds where they belong. But this is the back and forth that I enjoyed.
The first place you went was to the White House. Am I to understand that from your opening statement? It wasn't to the Department of Justice. The first place you went for a second opinion was to the White House?
I did not go for a second opinion. The question was, is the information contained here subject to executive privilege, not whether or not it met urgent concern.
And so the first place you went for advice as to whether you should provide the complaint as the statute requires to Congress was the White House.
I am not authorized as the Director of National Intelligence to provide executive privileged information. I think it is prudent as a member of the executive branch to check to ensure that, in fact, it does not.
I'm just asking about the sequencing here. Did you first go to the White House to determine whether you should provide a complaint to Congress?
No, sir. That was not the question. The question was whether or not it has executive privilege, not whether or not I should send it on to Congress.
Okay. Is the first party you went to outside of your office to seek advice, counsel, direction, the White House?
I have consulted with the White House counsel, and eventually we also consulted with the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel.
And my question is, did you go to the White House first?
I went to the Office of Legal Counsel for advice. Yes, sir.
Well, listen, I'm trying to get you to say something that will help my case on the news tonight. Will you just please cooperate?
What I did, sir, Congressman, is
I'm not asking you what you did. I'm asking you what you done.
So what I done was I went to. I did the thing. Here's the thing. I did this.
When you did it, was it done?
I did it, but no, Congressman, Chairman, Mr. Chairman, I said that I went to the first place.
I didn't
place.
Ask you where you went. I asked you what you did and whether it was done.
Okay, so, Mr. Chairman, the first thing I did is a patriotic American who loves this country more than you could possibly imagine.
Not interested. All right. I'm going to find that person. All right. What else?
I've got some more, Eric, if you want it.
Some more. I'm sure the next one you play is going to renew my faith in the institutions of our federal government.
We're going to find the truth with this cut. You can even start and stop it if you want to.
Good process.
Well, Director, I'm still trying to understand the chronology. So, you first went to the Office of Legal Counsel, and then you went to White House Counsel?
Wait, is this the same conversation?
Hold on, wait a second.
Is this the same thing we heard, or is this a continuation?
Wow.
Hold on, this is still happening.
Yes.
Okay.
Repeat that, please, sir.
My eyes are not deceiving me. These are adults we're looking at, right?
Repeat that, please, sir.
No push, no pressure, no nothing.
That's all you have to say. No push, no pressure.
No pressure, no nothing.
No push, no pressure, no nothing.
No nothing.
And then to the... Repeat that, please, sir.
That's me. I'm whistleblowing.
Oh, you're doing it to yourself?
Yeah, a whole bunch of elected politicians are wasting my time. 50 years ago today, Abbey Road was released.
I'd like to be.
Peace and love.
Don't send me autograph pictures anymore.
Because of the D.C. blowhards that we were forced to listen to earlier, we could not do the 10 a.m. name announcement for the 95.5 WSB free gas giveaway. But do not faint. Don't fall backward. Don't lose hope in humanity, because 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. will still happen. No matter what the blowhards say in D.C., I'm telling you right now, you have my EVH guarantee. At 4 p.m. and 5 p.m., you listen to the other white Eric, Eric Erickson. He will call out your name. You'll have 9 minutes and 55 seconds to call back and win yourself at least $500 in free gas and possibly more. Oh, by the way, we can't call your name out if you don't give us your name. So you have to go to WSBRadio.com or the WSB Radio app, and you'll be able to submit your name and then listen in. So we don't have a lot of time right here. I don't think we have time to go back to that same Q&A back and forth about who went where when. So very quickly, tell me a story about Atlanta, and then we'll go back to the blowhards in D.C.
Well, Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms unveiled a $5 million plan to make...
Oh, sorry, that music says we can't do that story.
Aww.
Plan for what?
We went, excuse me, and then to the...
It's good.
Repeat that, please, sir.
He comes, you know, I see here... In Newsweek, are you familiar with this publication, Newsweek?
I believe at one time it was a magazine.
Yes, and that what they do, my understanding, you can call in and correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is they take all of the news from an entire 7-day period and they squish it all into one edition.
Yeah. I get it.
Newsweek. They know what they're talking about, right?
Wow.
30 Republican senators would vote to impeach Trump if vote was secret, GOP consultant claims. That's a kind of, whoa, wow. But here's the deal. There's a reason that they can't vote in secret. And I've been saying it over and over and over again. Stop thinking of impeachment as a legal process. It is a political process. It was not warped into a political process. The founders intended it to be a political process. If impeachment is a check and a balance on presidential authority, going on record as a senator as to whether or not the president who was duly elected gets impeached is also, it's the check and the balance to the check and the balance. The founders were really into checks and balances. So the reason there is no secret, well, senators would do a lot of things in secret. Sometimes their secret things are found out, and we go, wow, didn't see that one coming.
No push, no pressure, no nothing.
That's where he stands. But I think we've had enough of that story, enough of the what I call the whistle blowhards up there on up in D.C., Hey, who is that?
No,
I will find out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pete,
I will find out. Watch which one of you blowing that whistle. Let's have some other stories.
Yeah, I was talking about Atlanta Mayor Bottoms. She unveiled a $5 million plan to make 20 miles of in-town streets more accommodating, Eric, and safer for non-drivers.
Oh, for non-drivers.
For non-drivers, so bikers, non-drivers. E-scooter riders, walkers.
We are so into categories that we act like non-drivers are never drivers. There's drivers, and there's pedestrians, and that's it.
Yeah, never the twain shall meet.
No, the pedestrians never get behind a wheel, and the people in the cars never walk.
I don't own a car.
Now, of course, there are many people who don't own a car. That's why they live in a city. But I would say that most people who have a bike,
they also have a car. Lyft, too.
Yeah. Well, most people, they do both, right? Sometimes you're a pedestrian and sometimes you're a driver. These aren't necessarily two constituencies that should be warring with one another.
Because I don't get it.
I would say there's about 80%, a conservative view would be an 80% overlap between pedestrians and drivers. Let me ask my friend here. He's 30 years old. This is Jared Yamamoto. He's a hip, happening
cat.
I'm
19.
Oh, yeah? Really? And you don't have your driver's license yet?
No.
Why would that be? You know, when I was 19...
Why do I need it? I could just take Uber.
But when I was 16, I could get my driver's license. Actually, I was 15 in Baton Rouge back in the day. I could get my driver's license. That represented freedom to me. I wanted to get out there and drive.
You didn't have a Bird scooter.
No, but the Bird scooter's only going to take you so far.
Oh, that's freedom. I control it.
Car represents freedom. You can drive 100 miles if you want to.
Cars represent oppression.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that wasn't a thought that I had when I was first getting...
Plus, my dad pays for my Bird scooter on his credit card.
That explains quite
a
bit.
My dad doesn't know he pays for my Bird scooter. I just use his credit card.
That's smart.
That's typical.
He thinks Bird is like a clothing store or something.
So we have to radically alter things because, according to the mayor, we have these different constituencies. People who walk and people who drive. You walk sometimes, don't you?
I walk all the time.
And you drive sometimes.
Yes, I do
wait
drive.
A minute, wait, you just said something that can't be true.
Yeah. You don't walk all the time.
If you walked all the time, you'd never drive. The word all does have a meaning.
I could walk all the time, considering how close I live to the station.
Yeah.
But I do choose to drive.
That's a long walk to the station.
There are many places where you sometimes drive through, and sometimes you're a pedestrian that walks through. Right?
Yes, occasionally.
Yeah,
so, and sometimes he scoots.
He's a scooter.
He's a scooter.
Ride my bike, too.
So right there, I just said, open people's eyes to that. This concept that there's pedestrians and there's drivers. My guess is the overlap is at least 80%. So we really don't have to put these two at war with one another. They're kind of the same people. We could probably work this out.
Well, the mayor's action plan, Eric, will officially launch next month during...
Action plan. You know what that means?
What?
Open up your wallet, taxpayers.
Tim knows what an action plan is.
Oh, yeah, Tim had an action
plan. Sure does.
Go back into the archives for that.
This $5 million action plan will officially launch during the city's first Biketober, guys.
Biketober.
That doesn't even sound right.
I know.
Biketober.
What is it about October that it gets so many of? Rocktober, Biketober.
Yeah.
Scoottober.
Yeah, you could just put anything in there.
There's Movember.
But that at least sounds like...
No, it does sound like... And Rocktober sounds good. Yeah, Biketober. The same consultant that came up with a plan and got $5 million is probably the same person who suggested, let's call it Biketober.
Yeah, if there was a month called Sightember, then we could call something Biketember.
Well, why don't you lobby for that? Perhaps we can get that so that we can get more of an environmental... Well,
do you want to hear at least...
You know what I want to hear?
What? I want to hear if there's money for green spaces, because, you know, that's the most important thing in the world. We need more green spaces. That's what I hear. There's not enough green. The color green, even.
We ain't got no trees down here.
You need to get some green spaces.
I need some green. Look, I walk out, all I see is a concrete jungle.
Yeah, boy, if you go through Atlanta.
I've got a green space, bro.
A head stash over here.
Yeah.
Biketober is going to celebrate the city's first ever temporary pop-up bike lane.
You know what? I love this. I love this idea when the government says, we're going to celebrate. You know, you're not told when... Who's going to actually celebrate? Some people may attend an event or two, but then we celebrate at Thanksgiving. You see people you haven't seen in a while. You celebrate at Christmas. You give gifts to one another.
No. I like to celebrate Biketober.
What do you do?
Privately. Yeah, privately.
You're all alone.
Just close family.
We put up our bike tree.
That's right. We gather around the spokes.
Yeah.
Boy, nothing like a government-sanctioned celebration for a good time.
I like the their acronym.
Everybody
too.
Got your helmets on now before you celebrate.
We sleep.
Let's all take a picture
on...
with our helmets on, guys.
Yeah. We sleep with our helmets on Bike Eve.
Yeah, Ma in her kerchief and I in my bike helmet. Yep.
I like the acronym they have for this. So they're calling bikes, e-scooters, and all anything that's motorized that you ride around. They're calling it the Light Individual Transportation LIT.
Now the millennials are going to groove on this. That's why we got the good consultants. We didn't get a consultant. A consultant that's going to appeal to some 47-year-old. What is it again? Yeah. Light? What is it?
Light Individual Transportation.
Hey, man, that's lit. Hey, y'all heard about lit? Wow, man.
We're going to get so lit for Biketember.
Local government is like the cool kid next door now. Wow, this is awesome.
Nobody tweaks your funny bone like these guys. Eric Von Hessler, weekday mornings at 9, and Mark Arum, weekday evenings at 6, on 95.5 WSB.
She's so... That's right. 50 years ago today, this awesome album, Abbey Road, the Beatles' last album... was released.
My favorite.
It's my favorite too. Not because of the whole album. I think the whole album is one of the great albums. But I believe that side two. We don't have side two anymore. But side two would be Here Comes the Sun. Well, first of all, let's go to this package that I heard coming in about this. And I'm sure everyone here, except for Jared, can spot the flaw, the error in this Abbey Road package this morning.
Opening with Come Together, and closing with The End. Abbey Road, with its iconic album cover, would go on to become one of the best-selling Beatles albums of all time and is generally considered one of the band's top three masterpieces.
Yeah, okay, so we all know what was wrong with that, do we not?
Yes, we do.
It does not end with the end.
No, it ends with Her Majesty.
Her Majesty.
As far as I know, and I don't know this to be true, but as far as I know, I think it's the first hidden track because it does. It's not listed
right.
as a track.
Well, maybe that's why they said it, right?
Right. No, I understand that. I understand why it happened.
Do you?
If you're going to... would you like to be the lawyer for this reporter?
Technically, in Article 1A, it says that because it is a hidden track, they don't have to report it that way.
She's a Beatle whistleblower.
Yeah, she's an ABC News rep, too.
Nice.
So he
pipe
said,
down over
he
there.
He said he didn't know. But
pipe down over there. My point is, I think it was the first hidden track. But I don't know that for a fact. But you have to wait for, like 18 seconds of dead air before you get to Her Majesty.
We actually have a 28-minute version of Her Majesty, but Paul got all antsy about it, so we just left it on there.
I thought it would be 30 minutes.
Yeah,
no, she screamed for 29 minutes.
Her
Majesty is a pretty nice girl, but she screams a lot, so I don't say, don't.
Let me just say that if for people, young people, people my age, people who are older than me, people who are dead. No, that doesn't count. People who are dead don't count. They can't do anything about it.
They're here with us.
Toddlers. Infants. Now, the word goes out to everybody. If you have never listened to Side 2 of Abbey Road, I encourage you to relax. And whatever relax means to you, relax. And turn it up very loud. It's built for headphones. And for years, we didn't have good headphones in the digital age. Now we do. We have great headphones in the digital age. And it's well worth putting headphones on or sitting right in the middle between two great speakers. And I'm not interested in your little EDM joke.
No, I was going to say,
he's raising his hand.
When I listen on my phone, do I just turn my phone over for side two? I mean,
no,
what do I do for side two?
It's a little millennial joke.
What do I do
in there? I'm trying to let people know how they can have a wonderful time.
What's the track listing? What
and
number?
You mean continuously.
Continuously.
Yeah, don't do it when you're going to expect a phone call halfway.
Let me just say something to people. When you watch a movie, do you dust the furniture while you watch a movie? You watch a movie. You sit down and you watch a movie. You don't walk out of the room, walk back in because something happened. I'm watching a mystery, you know?
How are you going to tweet if you're up walking around
exactly.
during a movie?
So my point is, there's nothing wrong with listening to music like you're watching a movie. They're entertainment or a TV show. Take the time, if it's been a long time for you and you don't remember really, or you never have, I'm guaranteeing you, I believe, Eric Von Hessler, who loves music, says, Side 2 of Abbey Road is the greatest pop music recording of all time, in my opinion. Now, whenever you say that, have I heard every single thing that's ever been recorded? So you have to say, that I've ever heard anyway.
You're not familiar with BTS.
I have not listened to the Japanese supergroup BTS.
Drake has the highest selling album of all time, so that must make it the best.
Look, people can listen to Drake. I'm not making this a war between generations. I'm saying, I'm using the word relax, and I'm winking at you, whatever that means to you.
How do you feel about the remastered?
I don't know that I've heard it.
Oh, it's really cool. They've upped some instruments that you didn't notice as much before.
It doesn't come out till tomorrow, strangely enough, is what I heard. Is that true?
Oh, or no, there's an old one.
Oh, okay. I probably have it then.
You probably do.
I have everything up till now. But yes. I think a new version of Abbey Road is coming out for the 50th anniversary. I'm not sure what's in there. But relax. Get yourself in that personal space. Put on headphones. Turn it up as loud as your ears will bear. And just sit back and enjoy what I believe is the best side of recorded music in pop history. Now, there are no more sides, and you can't turn it over. You can't turn your phone over there, Jared. So it's
oh, I tried.
It's Here Comes the Sun to the end of the album.
Can I tell you how I heard Abbey Road?
How did you hear Abbey Road?
I was into the Beatles because on PBS, when they would have the pledge drives, they would play Hard Day's Night or Help. And so I was really into the early stuff. And then my dad gave me a tape of Abbey Road because I would always listen to music while I did homework. And it was at the She's So Heavy.
Yeah.
And it was going on and on and on. And I thought that my tape player was possessed. Like, why is it still going? And then the second side, I had to flip it. The second side started. And in the middle of it, I had just stopped what I was doing. And I was just staring, listening to this album. And that's when I fell in love with the Beatles.
It's the depth. It's the levels. It's everything. You listen to the whole album. I mean, the whole album is a great album. But from Here Comes the Sun to the end. And can I tell you about A Crime Against Humanity? Since you did something and told about the moment that you really kind of fell in love deeply with the Beatles on side two. Here's A Crime Against Humanity. In my first car, I had an 8-track player. And I knew when I bought Abbey Road on 8-track, and people don't remember 8-tracks, they would just click to another track in the middle of songs. It was really pretty horrible. And Abbey Road has two medleys that run together on the on side two. And I thought, surely for Abbey Road, they'll make sure that when it clicks to the other track, you won't be in the middle. Now, right in the middle of some kind of beautiful passage transitioning into the next thing.
When you're listening now, do you remember where those were? Because that happens to me a lot.
A little bit. You know what's weird is if you had an album that had a skip on it years ago,
and
you hear the song, you keep it.
I had that for the White Album because someone took the CD that they had and made a tape for me, and there was like a weird glitch in it, and I still expect it when I hear that song.
Listen to it on headphones if you can, because there's a lot of movement of sound moving around from one ear to another ear. It's
a little ASMR there.
A little bit, whatever that is. It makes me feel good. Is that the noises that make you feel good?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't get me all sexed up or anything. Doesn't do that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of this rather truncated and strange edition of the Von Hessler Doctrine, but we're not actually done. We're done on the radio side. We're going to go do the Podcast 30. How do people join us?
Two places, Eric. You can go to the Von Hessler Doctrine Facebook page or the WSB Radio Facebook page. There's a little red box on either of those Facebook pages. Just click it, and you can see us in the studio.
Little red box. All right, we'll be back. We're going to do, I think, a whole show tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Von Hessler Doctrine podcast. Remember, you can hear the show every weekday from 9 to noon right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
Like current events and want to be the smartest among your friends? Then the Power Pod is the show for you.
The Power Pod is a weekly recap show where we cover the current events of the week.
It's a show where we're not afraid to get serious.
And we're not afraid to have some fun.
So try us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, the WSB Radio app, WSBRadio.com, Stitcher, CastBox. Okay. Anywhere there are podcasts,
we are there.
So power up with the Power Pod!
The Podcast 30 begins right now. 28 grams an ounce. Tim Andrews is here. J-Rad is here. Autumn Fisher is here. So, you were just talking, we don't have to recap what we just said before we went on, but I was thinking about this. You know, when you die, assuming that you don't, there's a couple of things. Like, if you get cancer and it's a long thing in a hospice, I guess this isn't going to happen. If you just get flattened by a bus.
Right.
But if it's just like one of those things where you just have major organ failure and you're wherever you are, I always think about like, if I'm watching TV, like what's the last television show? I hope it's not stupid reality show.
Yeah, you're stuck.
Would you rather as you die hear like some kind of like cynical, truthful, just playing on the background or like, would it annoy you if you heard something beautiful like "Here Comes the Sun"? And you're like, no, I'm dying. Like, which would make you drift off easier? Like, I think I'd want to hear something that I hate. So I go, all right, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Oh,
I don't want the Beatles playing on the way out because I'll be thinking I'm gonna miss something.
Because I was thinking about how we kind of know what it's like to maybe die.
Yes,
and I really felt
I know what it's like to be dead.
Yeah. I know what it's like to be dead. So does Eric too. And there is that feeling of fight. Like if you're going to live and you're going to be a part of that, and you really have, and you do have maybe a little bit of control, I guess, there is that really strong urge to fight. So maybe you would be annoyed at something so like.
Right. Maybe you need a Metallica to wake your ass up and get that heart going.
Either that or
there was no fight in mine, though, because I was 9 years old. Mine was very surreal.
Yeah.
And
but you were swimming
fighting
to that girl.
But it was very, but it was a beautiful thing. Yeah. It was like, this is what I want to do. I was nine. I didn't really have a whole lot of context. And when I woke up on the gurney in ICU, breathing out of my neck, I had no idea any of this was going to happen. And my, I remember it clearly. My first emotion was not elation, like, oh, I lived. My first emotion was really, really angry that I was pulled back from. Now, I am not a, I think I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not, I feel like I was dreaming.
No, I feel like the body, your brain was trying to make sense of what was
going on. The body does that. I think that's one thing that the body does, is it protects you if death is imminent, but a little bit drawn out over minutes. And I think it does kind of put you, even though you've seen people who get hurt and they're in a state of shock, they're not even there. And they're not even dying, you know.
Right, right.
They just, you know, they broke their leg or something, and they walk up to you, and they're like talking about something that has no sense whatsoever.
I was supposed to get apples.
Exactly. Because they're watching a whole other film, which protects them from the actual amount of pain.
No, my aunt, when she was dying, was telling us about a party with nuthatches, which is a type of bird. Yeah. And that became like a theme for us. It was like we all took pictures of nuthatches because it made me think of her.
I don't even know what a nuthatch is.
A bird.
It's a bird. It's a blue bird that has like darker blue and lighter blue. And it has a stripe sort of going past its eye. It sits on tree trunks and things like a woodpecker.
Uh-huh.
It's you don't really always see it like up and down.
I hate
like
woodpeckers.
Why?
Because there's one, and it's not there anymore. But
he's always playing tricks on you.
Yeah.
He's laughing at you.
Yeah, every time he's got one on me, he got this weird laugh. He
always singing about the Suwannee River.
Me, yeah. So though we have one has thought that our fireplace is a tree for a long time, and it's not there anymore. But for years, and it just kept banging into the wood part, and I had to get it replaced. Some guy almost nearly died on the ladder. That would have been great for me. I mean, it's way up there. It's not at the bottom of the fireplace they decided to start. It's way up there. It's scary land on the ladder. And then I got it replaced, finally, and then we painted it. And then the damn thing came back. Turns out it's against Roswell law to get out a gun and shoot a woodpecker.
What?
Are they endangered or protected or something?
No, you can't shoot. You can't shoot a gun in a city.
What about a pellet
shoot
gun?
The suburbs.
You could a pellet gun.
Or a BB gun or something, you know, small like that.
Yeah,
even a paintball gun. That'll stun them.
Yeah, that'll be great. Then I got that paintball, that paint splat up there.
That's, it washes away. Yeah.
There's
it
that,
away
and
easy.
Then you basically just knock the bird unconscious, but then he's like suffering from paint fumes, and then you've got this like dying bird.
I'll take care of him.
Believe me, if you hit a bird with a paintball gun, it's gonna shock it to
death. Let me say how stupid this bird was. It didn't realize that for a while it was hitting metal inside the top of the, and so you would
just
hear
clang, 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 clang,
that ain't a worm.
You'd hear it all over the place. It was awful. But
there was a woodpecker. There was a woodpecker outside of this window one time when we were doing the show, and I had to mute the mic and run over and be like, "Mom, get out of here!"
We have feral cats, and they just had a litter a while ago, and not in our yard, but in our neighborhood. So it's good because it keeps down on the rodent population.
Sure.
The other day, I was raking leaves, and I just found a squirrel skeleton.
Oh no, no!
Wow.
Hey, look, well, my cats. The one that I have now is an every once in a while bring something to the door, not like. But we've had a couple that, I mean, you would open the door and it was like, you know, just whatever the worst scene from a horror film. Just, you know, headless things. And
There'd be a chipmunk detective out there and then a rookie chipmunk puking in the bushes.
Yeah. There's a little teeny trench coat over the body.
Yeah.
But I learned very early on, don't walk outside at night with your shoes off.
Right, barefoot. Oh.
Because it's a couple times it's squished the toes into headless chipmunks.
Cold, dead blood and guts. Yeah.
Gross.
Oh, it's disgusting what cats do. You know, one time, I mean, this is still in my mind. And they don't do it for food. They just like killing things. So
they think that you're not good at hunting, and so they bring things
for
you.
They're helping us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, they should get the point when it doesn't come indoors ever, you know?
I know you give us this dry crap tea that I don't like very much. So here.
One time I opened the door. Try this on for, you know, hey, nice day. I'll open the door. Two little baby birds that had been skinned, still with a little bit of life in them, just wailing. And it's just like, this is just awful. Like, I know they're birds and whatever.
I don't think they were skinned. They probably just hadn't grown feathers.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Because those birds look like weird embryos when they're little babies.
Yeah, okay, that's what it was. When the feathers aren't developed, yeah.
Cats haven't developed the ability to
skin.
Fillet or skin.
Well, I saw blood.
His cats are tanning the little baby birds.
Yeah, I thought.
I'm making a jacket.
All right. It's a little
cat jacket.
Catcher's mitt.
Buffalo Bill cat.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, making meow. The lamp.
Would you pet me? I'd pet me so hard.
Do you know that I only ever saw that movie once, so I don't really recognize most of the lines that come from it. I saw it once. I thought it was great. But, I mean, I just...
Yeah.
There's a lot of movies that I watch over and over, but not every movie that I like.
Put the catnip in the basket.
Put the yarn in the basket.
Plus, there's people being terrorized and stuff. Even though it's a great movie, I can't put myself through that. Because, you know, I'm always the victim. I think I'm different than a lot of people. I think a lot of people watch these, like, especially mafia movies. Mm. And I think that they have, like, they're living out in themselves a little bit of a fantasy that they're in the mob or something. So when someone's being, you know, beaten senseless or, you know, shot in the head for no good reason or whatever, I think most people who love mafia movies, that, like, they're like, hey, I'm a mob guy. I'd be doing this. Like, I'm always the victim. Always the victim. I'm watching it, so, you know.
Yeah, you're getting the shakedown.
Yeah,
Eric's wigs never come off.
I'm sitting in the chair getting my ear chopped off in Reservoir Dogs. That's me.
See, I'm Buffalo Bill thinking, you know, this wouldn't be too bad if, you know, get rid of all the, you know, latent homosexuality.
Jay Leno used to have a joke.
I'm the moth.
Yes.
Jay Leno used to have a joke about, because this is when all the Friday the 13th and all, like, all the horror, you know, prom night, all those
stuff.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, the problem, he was always talking to Dave Letterman.
Yeah, problem, David.
Yeah, problem, David. It turns out that a lot of these serial killers look at these movies as how-to films. They're documentaries to these people.
Oh, that's a good one, Dave.
But it does. But if you watch those things in those days, they were just one-upping each other.
Yeah.
With, okay, now how do we kill people? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so the last one I saw before I said, you know what, I really don't like watching these movies. My girlfriend and the people I was hanging around with when I was 16 or so, all used to go to these horror movies all the time. And at one point, it was when we went to see one where the guy has a really long scarf on, winter scarf, and he's working on his motorcycle. Boy, I don't know what's going to happen here. And he's leaning over and he's working on the motorcycle. And in order to see if he's got the motorcycle working, he keeps reaching up to the handle. And, you know, ing, ing, ing. And then you know that the guy's coming behind him. And at one point, he just takes the one part of the scarf, tosses it into the chain, and then reaches up and ing, 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 and the guy's head's pulled down into the chain and eaten.
What movie was that? Do you remember?
I can't remember if it was Prom Night or if it was... It was one. I think it might have been Prom Night, but I can't. We saw so many.
Who's working on their motorcycle?
My
on
Bloody
prom night?
Valentine. What? What?
Who's working on their motorcycle? I can't go to the prom. I got to work on the cycle.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Prom Night. It was one of those. It was, you know, who's working on a motorcycle with their winter scarf on?
Right.
But it was at that one. I said, you know what? I'm going because my friends are going. But the truth is, I don't really like watching this stuff. So that was the last one.
I don't like being that scared.
Yeah, I don't, you know what?
You don't like the uncertainty behind it?
No, I didn't like the fact that they were one-upping each other from movie to movie to be more grotesque and figure out more. It's like
slashers.
Every time, it used to be for Peter Gabriel, every time you saw him on tour, you want to know what his bits are. He would have these set pieces. Like on one tour, he would open up inside of a telephone booth and come out, and then the phone would drag him back into the booth. Like, he would do these little things. And every tour, he would one-up them. So the next one, well, what's he going to do now? How is he? Then by the time he did his last tour, he was singing one of his songs upside down, hanging, going around. And I thought, okay, well, that's great for art. I want to see what that guy's doing. But it was kind of the same thing between the Friday the 13th franchises and the Halloween, beyond the first Halloween, but once it got into sequels. And it just started to become, to me, I thought, this is just sickening. It's still going on now. And now it's I really feel like special effects, meaning with blood and gore and faces and stuff, have gotten so good that it's kind of ruined some television and movies, because I think that writers and directors are going, hey, we have the ability to do this. Now write a scene where that happens. And that's not good stuff.
Do you remember Phantasm?
What?
Do you remember?
I remember the name.
That scared me.
Was that like a Manitou or what?
Well, no, it was about a kid that discovered the funeral caretaker in his town was a demon and he was harvesting souls, and there's this silver ball that flies around.
Yeah,
and it
I remember
goes
the
in your
commercials
head.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that scared me. But that was gross.
But then it still made you want more. Why do people like to be scared? I don't even.
It's you, fun. Know what I, you know what I like about it? I like the uncertainty behind it.
Well, you know,
I'm not a big fan. I agree with you on the gore, like that, when it's way too much. Like the, for example, the Saw movies.
Al Gore.
The Saw movie.
The Saw franchise.
To me, that was just pornography. I had no interest in seeing it.
Now,
any of it.
Now, when it comes to a thriller or something like that, like thrillers are fun. Like those are actually where you're on your toes. And there's a good twist.
If there's
uncertainty.
The best thing is, you know, something like that's a real movie, like Silence of the Lambs, and there's gore in there, but there's also a great cop procedural sort of movie going on at the same time. But these other kind of movies where you're just, you know, okay, there's the cast at the beginning. Now, I do like, who's the guy who just goes,
Sam Raimi?
Yeah, what were his
ones? Yeah.
Those crazy, just over-the-top horror movies.
Yeah, so, Evil Dead.
Evil Dead.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Army
yeah, yeah.
of Darkness.
I've got to say that, to me, is so over-the-top that it becomes fun.
Right, it's a different tone.
I loved all those movies because it was just so ridiculous. It was just like you can't. It wasn't the kind of irony that we have now that's annoying. It was because it played to what it was.
Right.
But the damn thing was just never dead, you know, and it just kept fighting away. And once you did that, they didn't have to try to be believable. Even it was like, hey, we're gonna go on this little ridiculous thing, so you could do all the tropes. Open a book. If you open the book and you look at it, whatever. It'll all get out. But Evil Dead 2 is better than Evil Dead because that is just so far. And is Evil Dead is there's a third one
the
of
third
them,
one is Army of Darkness.
Is that where he ends up in a different time? He gets in a time warp.
He has the chainsaw on his arm.
Yeah, fantastic. And I didn't watch all of the show.
Show was great.
The first few episodes of the show were very good. They killed a kid in like episode 3, and I really don't like that. I don't like when, because there's too much when you start putting in irony and laughter and that kind of stuff. Then you kill a kid, and I get knocked out of it.
Yeah,
I think it's a crime that. The gore or the blood or whatever that's in Inglourious Basterds has kept you away from seeing that movie.
It's cartoonish.
I know.
It's such a good movie. Every time I watch it, I think, I'm going to edit this movie like a Christian movie. Like, you know what I mean? So that he doesn't have to experience the blood or whatever.
Eric edit.
Yes, you need an Eric edit because it is such a brilliant movie.
I'll probably watch the Hollywood one first.
Yeah, I really want to see that too. I got to get out of this house.
Yeah, what are you doing with your life? Your stupid cat back there behind you. What are you what are you doing with your life? What do you guys do? Don't you, you know, just put a little NyQuil and knock the kids out, and you and Dad?
Well, we have melatonin. We roofie them, we call it, when we give them a little melatonin.
But don't you have friends who have kids so that you guys can swap back and forth, where like every Friday and Saturday? Don't you have something like that?
Wait, what kind of swap, Eric?
Swap
the kids, okay. No. Oh, I thought.
A good thing to do is you need for your kid, your oldest, to have a little friend whose parents you like a lot. Mm-hmm. So that you guys can, like, and then what will happen is One Friday, you keep their kids. The next Friday, they keep your kids. You go back and forth. Everybody's
good idea.
But it's got to be, for it to work, it's got to be like your little girl's best friend. So she always wants to be around. And I know that your kids are not very likable, and this may be difficult.
But you're right. Yeah, Ellie is so annoying. No one likes it. It is weird, honestly, when we go to school. Not all the kids, but a lot of kids, and even like older kids, like, hi, Ellie! Yeah. You know, they're all...
Yeah, well, she's got the little Autumn personality.
She's pretty cool.
You have to watch it when she's 13 or so, and the boys, boys start coming around.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
I'll know what's going on.
Yeah, you think
they're coming around for Pete.
Then she'll encourage it. Well, come on in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lock your door when you're upstairs.
No, I'll know. I know what's going on.
Yeah, you'll... You know what? The question is whether or not you will be in the mood to confront it.
But don't parents always say that they know?
No, but that's what I just said is the reality. You do kind of know, but if it's not right in front of your face and you have all the evidence, it might be that you're damn tired and you don't want to deal with it today. And then that goes to another day.
And then you're like, well, all right, she's 15.
Yeah,
I mean, all
right.
Maybe she's getting something.
She's got three guys in there, though. That's a...
Somebody brought a video camera in.
Yeah. Yeah. Going on? Hey, why is it so loud?
These kids are creative.
That's guys, it. 3 feet on the floor.
That's all right. We have five of them on the floor.
They kept saying they want to play Twister.
Yeah,
why,
I am
why?
So glad. I am so glad that I have boys. I have to be honest with you because I cannot imagine...
What does that mean?
I don't know. I could not imagine. What did he say?
He said, I don't know either. I just think it's funny. He's like, I just say something gross and hope it lands.
I
like it.
I can't. I think it's easy to teach boys how to be gentlemen.
Hmm.
But the concept of guys pursuing my kids, that would freak me out. I think it does freak dads out because we know men and we know how men are and we know how men think. And then you've got your daughter who, you know, you have this paternal love for that is unbelievable. And I'm just glad that I don't have to worry about that.
There's a phrase that I heard where if you have a boy, you have to worry about one penis.
Yeah.
And when you have a girl, you have to worry about every penis.
Yes.
I do that. So, I don't have any kid.
Me either.
Yeah.
Not that I know of, at least.
My plan with Ellie.
What are you two getting together to your act? Yeah. The funny
I was just going to thank him for making my horrible joke even worse.
What are you doing over there? What are you drawing your little
drawing
thing?
A box.
Are you drawing a box?
Drawing a box.
What are you drawing a box of? What's in the box?
Oh, it's Autumn.
Oh. This is in a mood today.
You
everything
draw
is.
Me?
Every no, he's drawing.
He won't draw me.
No, it's just a box.
See.
Who drew the?
I drew Adam Schiff earlier.
Yeah, no, it's great. Who drew the who drew the thing on your one topic logo?
Oh,
you?
That's Joanna. I need to know her name.
Uh oh,
Steins, isn't it?
Is it Steins? She's an illustrator.
Oh,
nice. Who's a fan and Joanna
Davidson.
No, shush, Devadovich.
She's also
did you call her a bitch?
She drew the little furries, right?
Yes, she's the one. Yes.
Yeah, so our Facebook cover for the longest time before we put our professional picture where it had all of us as different animals was done by Joanna as well.
Well, what, by the way, whatever happened to that picture, I don't think it should just go away forever. It
it's
still
exists.
It's
in our albums.
All right. Well, she's gone now. She left. I don't know what happened. Disconnected. No Autumn.
Wow.
Then she's just gone.
I hear it. I thought I heard a little sound. Weird.
What? Yeah, she's gone.
What?
What?
Huh?
Hey.
Hello?
Hey.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Hey, am I not paranoid? Who is?
I don't know, Pete.
Who is that?
We went, and then to the, repeat that, please, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear
I'm
you.
I'm sorry.
Now.
The computer turned
it's all
off.
You. No, it's you. It's you, isn't it? You just can't seem to get it right. You know what, Autumn? You're fired. Right here on the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' Abbey Road.
No, this is my only thing. Yeah.
No, it's your only thing.
No,
no, you're just a mom now.
No!
She's a mom who, I bet you she walks around, she tells people, well, I'm really famous in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
You go to Atlanta.
I did accidentally talk like that once.
Oh,
I that wasn't, no.
Accidentally!
Honestly, the point that I was trying to make was that I had just been in Atlanta and people had said like they knew who I was, and I thought that that was really neat.
Yeah.
But and I was trying to make that point that like when I come here,
yeah, nobody knows
when I come back, nobody knows. And but it came off as this like horrible thing. It was horrible. I hated it. And you know, like it's the toothpaste is coming, you can't get it back in. It was like I can't make this better.
Yeah, you think I'm a jerk, and that's I just have to live with that. I'll make you I'll make you some homemade bread. Perhaps we'll get even.
But I was going to say, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, when I come home, I'm just not as appreciated and loved and famous as I am
it's
in Atlanta.
True. Ugh, it's so hard to be here. Joanna Davidovich, she did the characters of us as animals, and she's really talented. So I asked her to do a little thing for us, and she did it.
She also did an animated. She's super nice. First of all, she's had a lot of success, especially over the last year. I feel like I saw her Twitter account. It grew by 100,000 followers.
Really?
Am I correct on that, Autumn?
I don't follow. I don't know. I follow her, but I don't know her Twitter followers.
Whatever it is.
What are you doing? What are you digging into her stats for? What's going on with you?
Because she made me a custom version of, I guess, my animal. And it's animated, it's moving, it has a marshmallow shirt on. And it's so cool. Well, and it was one of the nice
things.
Oh,
it's like a little thing. She just emailed it to you?
She was super nice about it.
Can you post that?
Did you get one, Tim?
Yeah, I can post it.
No, I didn't get one.
Did you get one, Autumn?
No, but Fuxi has done some stuff for us.
I'm just kidding. It's fantastic. I love the fact that people do any of this stuff.
I know, it's really neat.
Yeah, Jerry does some of the funniest. He can do stuff like right away.
He can.
Yeah, super quick. Like we'll talk about something on the show and then you'll check Twitter and he's posted some picture of it or some little animation of something.
Why did Jerry just run out of the room?
He has to pee.
No, he's not like you.
He's pooping.
No, I can hold pee. I can't hold the other one.
Well, thank you. It's good to know that. You're on record now.
Oh, I think
did you like my thing I made?
I got those two confused.
I thought it was great.
Did you like the thing I made?
Yeah, but the production level is not good enough.
I did it last night. I finished it at like 10:45.
You can cut the hooks back a little.
Well, no, we're going. I had her supply the vocal tracks.
Oh, and Jared's going
to
do it.
I had the multi-track sent to everybody.
Yeah, we're gonna jazz it up. But I might write something tonight that I want you to say.
Did you see? I added it to the end of it.
I haven't yet, so I got to go look at it. Whatever.
Yeah, it's good.
I know it's good. It's all right.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Tim brought up the idea. Right. I'm sorry, Tim. I want to give full credit. Tim said that I should do that.
All right. Well,
I said that earlier, joking, and I wanted to bring it back up.
Okay. Open our hearts and minds.
That's another thing we haven't gone over. It's the fact that the dental plates on all of this stuff. My goodness. Pelosi, when she was talking about... they're all trying to sound like they're the founding fathers all of a sudden. And also the Democrats suddenly love the founding fathers.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they own slaves, a bunch of them?
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm going to forget about that for this one. The founding AOC. Like, she gives a damn about the founding
Our
fathers.
Our founding fathers.
But this is the dental plates. The schlossy. Okay, you got Pelosi. You got Giuliani.
You got
Biden. And you got Trump with...
God bless the United States.
That's right. God bless us.
Pelosi starts talking about Thomas Paine as if they still teach him in school.
In the darkest days of the American Revolution, Thomas Paine wrote... The times have found us. The times found them to fight for and establish our democracy. The times have found us today.
So this is what I want to get going. I want to get all the sloshiest things. The Giuliani, Pelosi, Biden.
Oh, gosh, buddy, you know, I think they should follow that.
And we're going to present them at some point tomorrow on the radio show. And
I
then,
think it's so wonderful.
Yeah, this is why. At some point, I want all the voices of the sloshing to start sloshing against each other.
Miley Cyrus could be in there, too. If you
want. Yeah, she does have that.
She really does. She kind of has, like, a real harsh-sounding like voice, like she's been smoking.
What's
the my mic stand just fell apart.
Yeah, who cares? So, are you all right? You gonna be all right?
Whoa. That's fine.
What?
Look at
Jeez. Oh, you're scaring me. Hey, that's my mic stand. Didn't I send that to you?
No, this is from the station.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe you did send it. No. I don't remember.
It looks like one. It's not.
Yeah, well, it's a real piece of crap. It just fell apart.
Yeah.
Don't touch my head.
Hey. Oh, Miley Cyrus. So she was with this guy for a bunch of years, and they were going to get married, and they called it off, and they did get married, and then like 6 or 7 or 8 months.
Hemsworth.
Hemsworth. 6 or 7 or 8. I don't know who he is, but he's fine. Huh?
She's like, I'm a lesbian.
Well,
now.
Yeah, well, then this thing
then
is.
Then they broke up too.
No, yeah, well, that's the weird thing. And then so she was married, and then she started showing up with this other lady who I don't know who she is either, but I guess she's famous. And, you know, they're being all sexual with each other in public. And then I read today's, nah, she's done with that. Miley's going back to, I was. Is this the pansexual thing?
Yeah. This is drugs get around. Miley does drugs.
Oh, is that what it is?
I missed the D.
Of course.
Why? What is that? You missed the D.
You know what I mean by the D.
I know what you mean.
Diets.
Delightful.
Yeah.
You got to say it as Miley.
I miss the D. I just don't like it. I miss taking over my friends for Wink Hoyle and her and his girlfriend is Miss Sebuality.
So what is your sebuality?
My sexuality is it's a fluid. It's a sex fluid that comes out of me. It just depends on how I'm feeling at every moment.
Isn't that how everyone is? It's just that a lot of people have the same feeling most of the moments.
Yeah, a lot of people are sexual, but there's a sexuality on a spectrum, and I feel like my spectrum is a little bit wider than most people.
Well, it would be. You're a creative artist. Miley Cyrus.
I love in our modern
era.
I'm
so hot. Did you see me? Did you see my picture of me with my butt out?
Yeah. You're really hot.
You look kind of dirty and gross.
Yeah, she looks like she might have bad breath.
Yeah, among other things.
But there's nothing bad down there.
Yeah, so, it's good. Just ask Wayne Coyne.
Yeah, you're still good. Still good friends with Dolly Parton, too. Yeah. Great friends.
A buddy of mine, this is before Miley went, I'm an adult. Before that moment, which I think it was the MTV Awards, where she jumped out there and did the Flaming Lips act, basically with furry characters and everything all around her. It was obvious. I looked at that and I go, somebody went to a Flaming Lips concert and her whole life changed. That was so obvious. She went from Hannah Montana to that MTV thing with dancing furry things and glitter all over. And when I saw her do that, I was reminded of a friend of mine used to work in Nashville in production, and he worked on the movie with Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus before this change happened. And I asked her about, you know, this Miley Cyrus. He said, you know, she was just absolutely wonderful. He said, I think it's just she was raised in the South by Southern parents, and she was as nice to the catering people as she was to Dolly Parton or anybody, the director or anyone. And so I walked away with this idea, this country girl who just then, like 6 months later, pow.
What movie was she in?
Well, she's been in a few movies. Was that a Hannah Montana movie with Dolly Parton?
I think
Dolly Parton plays, believe me, I've never seen this movie. But I have not seen this movie. I believe that Dolly Parton plays her grandmother or something.
Okay.
As she's Mama Montana.
Then she went and met that photographer in New
Montana.
York.
Yeah, those pictures. So the guy who took those pictures, he's the one that's in trouble with the Me Too movement?
Yeah. Terry Richardson, I think, is his name.
How does he talk her into
He talked a lot of actresses.
Not into that. Not into that.
Yeah.
Not into that. There's
that
one. I can't even describe what she's doing in
these
pictures.
I know what you're talking about.
She's tasting herself, but it's not real.
Yeah, my elbows taste like chicken.
She has a prosthetic. She's strapped. She has a prosthetic strapped on. She's topless, and she's bending over, tasting herself. There's no other actress in Hollywood that Terry Richardson talked into that. She was stoned out of her mind. And her dad
must have to be high constantly.
Like, how do you not say, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
She's not going to like looking back at that when she's 50. I'm sorry. Down all the way pornography, if you ask me. Hell, you could have put that stuff in a penthouse.
There is some news about Miley Cyrus. Her stalker was arrested today.
Oh, good. I don't like that guy.
Oh, thank goodness.
I don't like that guy.
It says a man who claimed his life mission was to impregnate singer Miley Cyrus was arrested at one of her concerts. 42-year-old guy.
You got to be careful with those things. Those guys are just nuts.
Yep.
You know, people, you know, will make monologue jokes and stuff out of that, but those are just sick people who just need to be institutionalized and forced to take the medicine that will bring them back to the rest of us.
We can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of, I have to go. I have to take a phone call.
Take a phone call.
Oh, good. This is the music. I was worried that we were going to go late.
For your mental illness or for your prosthetic device?
Mental illness.
Do you think you could be talked into doing that picture by Terry Richardson?
No.
At any point in your life? 21. 19.
No.
19.
21. No.
All right.
Not back then. Especially back then. 21. I feel like you're going to have more of a chance
about,
now.
What about that weird gray area between Wade and Trav? Like,
oh, you mean those 6 hours? On
it. No, I'm talking about like the W years. You're pretty into yourself back then. You're pretty into yourself. Yeah, you're pretty into yourself.
Why wouldn't I be?
Hey. All right. That music says... we gotta say bye. So, bye.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.